Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our good friends at Omaha Steaks. Father's Day is just around the corner. Are you trying to find the perfect gift for your dad? Look no further than our friends at Omaha Steaks. It's convenient, there's variety, there's quality, and there's customization to every single order. Omaha Steaks delivers hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, and vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in Omaha Steaks cooler. There's pork, poultry, veal, lamb, bison, seafood, and vegetables. It's all the highest quality cuts with one-of-a-kind flavor. All the beef is USDA inspected for quality and aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. Omaha Steaks gives you the best option to customize your steaks for dad's grilling needs with recipes, wine pairings, all that shit. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to all of our listeners for Father's Day. It's an incredible 78% off. This is an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com, type in zero in the search bar. You can get this Omaha Steak Father's Day package that includes two filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, and four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers. And let me give you a little hint, folks. There's four gum jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steak fries, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning package. Plus, you get four more Omaha Steaks for free with the purchase. Again, this is a limited-time package for $49.99. That's a shitload of meat for $49. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com/zero. And if you have a sous vide machine like I do, it already comes vacuum packaged, so you could just throw that shit into the water bath and it's good to go. Like I did it with the burgers the other night and just threw them in the sous vide for like 45 minutes at 134 degrees and they were perfect. They don't shrink up whenever you do that way. I recommend it. Get those burgers today. Get all that meat from Omaha Steaks. Again, omahasteaks.com. Type in zero, $49.99 for a shit ton of meat. We set up what time we're going to be there. He is late, and there's going to be some excuse like it's raining or something like that, or he's got officer shit going on. We all know that that's an excuse. It's an excuse that's commonly used in the military, so it makes sense that we'll use it now. We got big-time events happening today in the Barstool headquarters. There's a spelling bee. Bren got a haircut. He looks legitimately like PFC Bren today with his haircut.
That is a high end.
Yeah, that's a high end tight that he's rocking. You can't see that, so that's good damn radio for me to explain it. Kate is up in New York after her trip to Indy. How did that go?
It was a blast. I'm getting too old for it, but for sure. But yeah, I did the tailgate at the Indy 500 and then went to the actual race. And this was the first year. Normally I'm in the infield with my cousins. This was the first year moving on up into the stands. And it was a hot one. It was like 95 degrees, no shade, on a hot track and hot metal stands. So,
yeah, it's been crazy hot here too, like well into the 100 yeah. degrees every day, and it's miserable. There's no end in sight at all. This morning, I went and took my dog to the vet, and as like a dog handler, I'm so used to being in vets and going through. But the experience as a civilian with a dog at the vet is just so incredibly different than how they treat like the working dogs. They just basically make, and the military is just like sieve, you know, like they're just like a piece of gear that they just have to go in. They want to get all the 15, 20 dogs seen at the same time. You have lance corporals, and sergeants standing outside with their dogs, keeping them calm. The staff NCO in charge, the trainer in charge is trying to keep the dogs not from like fighting each other. In the civilian vet, it's just like a free-for-all. So I go in there, and I still have, like, kennel master brain, where I look at all the dogs that are in there. They're going crazy. They're barking at each other. Nobody's giving their dogs any command. Everybody's just doing whatever they want. They're back on the block. It's just a total free-for-all in there.
Oh, yeah. Do you find yourself, like, rating the dogs? Like, I would take this one in my squad. This one's awful. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's like a big German Shepherd in there today. And I was like, oh, man, just look at how that fucker's standing. He's going to have hip dysplasia and a heartbeat. And I also really judge the vets, too. And I say stuff where they know that I know what I'm talking about. It's a big dick measuring contest in there for me where I grab my dog and hold him where I know that if he's getting shots, he's not going to be able to get at him. I pinch the little flap of skin where the shot is supposed to go before the vet does. And they look at me like, oh, well, how do you know where those go? I'm like, well, my friend, let me tell you a little bit about my experience.
They probably see you on the schedule and they're like, oh, God, here we go.
That's how I always feel. Chaps. And then he was telling me about the biggest difference is how civilian dogs live. So we're going on a vacation to Disney World from the 12th to the 19th. We'll be staying there for a long time. And so we have to get a kennel for Gus. And I don't really like going to the kennel just because I feel like it's sad for him because he's around me all the time. I mean, the only time he's not like nut to butt with me is whenever I'm recording something. Other than that, he's right there. I call him blog dog like all day. He's like hangs out. I put my feet on him and shit. So he misses me a lot whenever I'm gone. But dogs in the military stay in those concrete kennels for their entire lives. I mean, 12, 13 years sometimes they could just be chilling in those kennels. It's all barking. And I've gotten soft in my day because I was asking the vet this morning. I was like, well, what kennel place do you recommend? And he said, well, if you're looking for a cost conscious place, there's like $20. It's basically like just a kennel, like a humane society thing. You could put the dogs in there and that's like $20 a day. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. And I ended up scheduling at this place that has like miniature beds with blankets on it that they put like a TV on in their individual room. It's air conditioned all the time. They have access to a pool where they can go outside and swim. And it's so expensive. But I was looking at it and I was like, Gus deserves this. Me would have never done that. Never.
I was going to say, I bet if your MWD had a crystal ball and could see you doing this now, you'd probably be like, what the hell, man? I never got this treatment.
Psyche and Andy would be absolutely pissed. Santo would be outside of his mind. Santo would be like, dude, you left me in a kennel for like 10 hours when you went and drank in New York. And that's why I busted out and ate the bathroom at the Doubletree on 51st and Lexington. Which was one of my all-time scariest moments that I was in the Marine Corps. I thought I was going to be fucked when I came back. And my 120-pound Czech Shepherd destroyed a bathroom.
Were you in for Fleet Week? Have you told this before? I would like to hear more about this.
I'm not sure if I've told it or not, but we went to – it was during President Obama's like post – it was President-elect Obama's like post-election kind of like victory tour. And he had a big event at – I think it was at the Lincoln Center, and there Billy Joel was there and Bruce Springsteen and a couple others. And whenever I was doing the pre-checks for explosives in the area, I walked in and Billy Joel was warming up on the piano and microphone, like singing. So it's me and my dog looking for bombs and Billy Joel like playing on the piano. And it was amazing. And so
did you get to show him some of your sweet skills? Because you got a set of pipes on you.
I was singing along, play a song, you're a piano man, and going through the entire place. And then we went back to the like where the dressing rooms were, and Bruce Springsteen was back there, and John Legend was there. It was just a bunch of celebrities and me and my dog, and they all wanted to ask me questions. I felt like a legit celebrity. And then after the event was over and President Obama gave his speech, I went back and put my dog into the hotel. And when I came back that night, Santo had legit eaten like a hair dryer. He knocked off the back of the toilet. It broke and shattered. He pulled down the shower curtain. He had eaten some of the tile from the bathtub, like the under parts, you know, like at a hotel where they have the wood places where you'll put the towels and shit underneath it. He had eaten that completely off. And so I called my boss, my staff sergeant at the time, and I was like, dude, I am fucked. I was like, Santo probably caused $5,000-$6,000 worth of damage in this hotel room.
Oh my God.
And so of course he goes into immediate staff sergeant mode, like, this is your fault, you weren't responsible, you shouldn't have gone out drinking, even though everybody does it on Secret Service missions. You put your dog in the kennel. He happened to just be a big fucking bitch and get out because he's an enormous dog and was fed up of being inside. And in New York, where are you going to take a 130-pound dog to go shit? Like, there was no place to go. He's, like, shitting by homeless people, and everybody wants to pet him because people bring their pets through, even though he's wearing a big thing that says military working dog will attack if unprovoked and everything. People don't give a fuck because it's New York.
No.
So after being
there,
they're
probably mad. They're like, excuse me, this is where the people shit in this park. Get your dog out of here. This is the people-only shitting area.
Yeah, so after being there for 4 or 5 days and constantly keeping a watch on Santo, I needed to unwind a little bit. And I called the Secret Service and the officer in charge of the Secret Service or the agent in charge. And I was like, hey, my dog destroyed a room. And he said, what room are you in? I gave him the room number. And he said, okay, hold on. I'll call you back in a minute. He just called me back. He was like, all right, we got you a new room. I was like, well, what do you need me to do about the other one? He's like, dude, it's Secret Service. We don't give a fuck. Like, we'll pay for it. It doesn't matter. I was like, you guys
That's
are
awesome.
Just so incredibly different. And I was like, fuck, I wish I wouldn't have told my staff sergeant yet. I should have called the Secret Service guy first because then I wouldn't have even had to say anything.
I would like to see a comparison, like 1980s hotel room after Motley Crue left it versus when your dog left it. Like, which room was more destroyed?
It was definitely the bathroom that was more destroyed. Yes. Captain Kanz is here now. Kanz has showed up because it's 20 minutes after formation. Kanz is finally here at formation. Kanz, how are you doing?
a little flustered, but I'm all right. I'm good.
Getting a little pit
what did
stained
I miss?
Up. We're talking dogs. We're talking dogs. But
we haven't talked dogs in a while.
Yeah. That was a bad one. And then whenever I did security for the Commandant of the Marine Corps at the Commandant's Ball that's at the Gaylord Hotel just outside of D.C., Santo was a motherfucker, took about a 6-pound shit right in the middle of the EGA seal, like the president or the Commandant's carpet, the huge one that they have that's like 30 feet across, 30 feet in diameter. He took a shit right in the middle of the eagle. And, like, the Commandant's aide, who's, like, a colonel, came out, and he was like, Sergeant, what in the fuck is this? And it stunk to high hell because he had, like, anal sacs that constantly needed to be expressed. And whenever that happens, like, if you don't do it often enough when they shit, that, like, juice comes out on the shit, too. So it's basically, like, a shit cocktail. It was fucking horrific. Got kicked out of that place. So that was good.
I want to party with that dog. I feel like that, like Santo.
Well, he was just an asshole. I don't know if I've talked about Santo before, but I mean, there was times whenever I would have to leave training and go do something else to take care of another thing. So one of the other Marines would have to get him out of this big long vehicle that we kept the dogs in. Everybody was terrified of Santo. So it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We had been training with the local police department. I think it was like the DEA Academy or something like that. And one of my corporals called me in the middle of the night. He was like, Sergeant, you're going to have to drive in. I live like 40 minutes from base. I was single dad at the time. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to go in. And he said, Sergeant Gehring and Corporal Dockrell are literally on top of the canine vehicle, and Santo is circling them like sharks.
Oh, my God.
They let him out, and he didn't want to get in, so he chased him up there. And I was trying not to laugh because I could just envision Santo's big ass going apeshit. And eventually he would get on top of the vehicle because he was just very persistent. And I said, well, did you try to give him a biscuit? They're like, he wants us to be the biscuit. He wants to eat us, dude. You got to come get this fucking dog. So I said, you guys just got to figure it out. And they eventually figured it out. Somebody brought like a rope and tied it around him and like got him into the kennel. It's like, you guys are all dog handlers. Figure it the fuck out. They eventually did. But I just giggled in my bed at night at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about them getting circled like sharks by the biggest military working dog I've ever seen.
I feel like that's like the military version of the Sandlot. Like, they had to create a contraption to, like, trick him.
And that's really what he looked like. He was a huge Czech shepherd that you could brush him and brush him and brush him. And eventually, you're like, how does this dog keep having so much hair? He is just enormous and just the biggest asshole dog that I've ever worked with by far. I handled Santo for, like, a year, and I don't even like that dude. Like, when I got in every morning, I was like, today is going to be the day that I absolutely get attacked. And because sometimes you just have like non-combat injuries, there was a report recently that came out this week that said that one third of the injuries in the for the military in Iraq and in Afghanistan aren't even from combat, from just everyday stuff. So that got us to thinking about the type of injuries that we had that didn't really make a whole lot of sense if you explain it to other people, or just that were freak injuries. Kate, what was one of the injuries that you got? I know you have a weird one too.
When I was at MP school, it was in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and there was not much to do out there. So they had a big pool on base, and on the weekends I would go, like, not swim laps to get in shape. I'm like, cannonball! Like, I would just go to be...
Excuse me, does anyone mind if I practice my cannonballs?
Yeah, pardon me. Excuse me. But so I would go to do that, and they had a high dive. And I was with my friends, of course, they're like, oh, do one off the high dive, which was really fucking high.
Was that 3 meter or 10 meter?
I think it was 10. It was like...
Really high?
Really high.
So probably 10 meter. Okay, go ahead.
So I was like, I'm going to do it. So I was going to show off and do a cool, like, jumping jack pencil move.
Ooh.
So I got fancy AF. So I did, and I went down under the water so quickly, like way, way down, that the pressure change was too much, and my eardrum literally cracked inside my head. I didn't even know that could happen. Right away, my eyes, it felt like they exploded. I saw stars everywhere. I was so disoriented, the lifeguard had to jump in. I couldn't even figure out up from down, so I couldn't get out of the water. And then he had to, like, pull me over to the side. And my sergeant at MP school, like, I was just like a goofball, so he was always like, God damn it. And so they had to call him and be like, you have an injured Marine over at the pool. What happened? She did, like, a funky jump off the high dive, and sure, she's all jacked up now. So he had to drive me to the hospital. This was, like, on a Saturday. He's, like, a family man. And I'm in the thing, like, my eyes are rolling around. And they actually had to put this little thing in my ear to, like, fix it. I don't know.
Do you have any permanent damage from it?
Well, so the very same ear, I also had an earplug fall out while I was firing the 50 cal.
Oh.
And I was like, don't be a bitch, just keep going, which in hindsight, silly.
Yeah.
But to this day, when I don't know which one it was, but whenever I hear birds chirping or the news is on, my ear, like, I can feel it. Like, it has a heartbeat. It's like thump, 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 thump. Like, my ear thumps to the sound of birds chirping and to the news, like, to certain anchor people's voices. But I tell everybody it was from combat.
There you go.
That sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a made-up combat story to coincide with the injury?
Oh, that's the 50 cal.
Gotcha.
So there I was. No.
Yeah.
But,
knee-deep in a burn pit, firing off the 50 cal.
Yep.
We were out on our combat outpost, and we really built everything up from nothing. So we go to the shower, and when I say shower, I use that term very loosely. It was just the place where we had the canvas bags that held water that just trickled out, and you'd raise it up, and it was the worst experience ever. And it was at night, so it was cold. There's no electricity, so I couldn't see a nail sticking out of one of the boards.
Ooh.
And I'm showing Kate the picture right now.
Holy shit.
But the best part was my buddy Rob was in there with me. He's like, hold on, we got to get you to the medic, but hold on, let's get a picture first.
And can I just, I know no one can see it, but to explain, this looks like it's fake. Like, he has so much, his hair is completely red from blood. It's streaming down his face, and it's all over his teeth. He has blood red teeth. It's dripping out of his mouth.
It's actually
and
a pretty great picture.
And it's splattered all over. We'll put it up on the site for sure.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God, that's terrible. And he has the biggest, goofiest smile on his face while he's doing it. I'm sure you can't see that, Jeps. But,
yeah, I think I've seen that picture before.
Yeah,
I think I've posted it, but we'll post it again. It's a great picture.
How about you, Chaps? What do you got? Besides getting shot, like, what's a real injury that you got?
Yeah, besides that one, I think one of my most embarrassing things was, it was oddly an ear thing as well. I was catching dogs, like getting attacked by dogs and doing training, and I went down and hit my head on the concrete whenever the dog hit. Or it might have been grass. It was something hard, but probably not concrete. Went down, and I couldn't hear when I got up, and I felt dizzy, and I was like, fuck, man. I am really screwed here. I think I ruptured an eardrum or have a concussion or something like that. So my sergeant takes me to medical, and they do like this check. My eyes weren't dilated, no concussion. And so they're looking in my ears, and they're like, we figured out what the problem is. And they bring this huge syringe into the room. They're like, lean on your side. and they start going through, and I'm like acting like a little bitch. I'm like nervous. I'm like, Sergeant, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to hear again. Like, this is really scary. I was like a pretty brand new boot, like that had just finished dog school, and I was like, fuck, man, I am so screwed here. Well, the corpsman just started pumping like water into my ear, and this enormous piece of wax like comes out. And it was just that my head hit the ground a certain angle, and it caused this big, like, compacted piece of wax to completely seal my eardrum like an earplug, basically. Yep. And so I just couldn't hear. And as soon as they took out that hard-ass chunk, it looked like an eraser, like the end of a pencil eraser. As soon as they took that big bitch out of my ear, I could hear fine, and I felt fine too. And so then I was like I had only been like in Okinawa for maybe 3 weeks, and I just got treated like the biggest fucking pussy for a long time. Thank God I got shot, so I had
a little you needed that one. My body.
If not, I probably would have just been known as the big pussy with the earwax.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Now you're really thorough about cleaning your ears.
Yeah, I am. I'm like neurotic about it, and probably to the point where I do more damage, because I just walk around sometimes. I'll just be thinking about what I'm going to write or thinking about what I'm going to talk about at night. And I'll just go get some Q-tips, and I like to fucking just do it up. Somebody who's not a pussy is our friend Shelby Miller, who's going to come on to the show. He's a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, doing all kinds of great stuff. And you're going to hear more from him in just a second. And that interview is going to be brought to you by our good friends at First Leaf. First Leaf is a great wine club. The more wine you taste and rate, the better they customize your box for you based on the wines you like. It's a limited time offer, so when you sign up with my personal link, you get a 3-pack of your introductory wine for just $15 plus pre shipping. If you then rate it the best 3 wines that you like, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. When it comes to buying wine, most of our choices are made out of habit. You just go and you see the little label that you like, whatever. It's not reading, it's not for a sommelier that's picked out for you. First Leaf is different. I started by answering 3 quick questions about my wine drinking preferences. First Leaf created an introductory 3-pack of wine based for me and my flavor profile. Best part is you get 3 for just $5 each. These wines would go for like $20 a piece if you got them in stores. When the bottles arrive, I tasted and ran them online. First Leaf took my ratings and selected new wines based on the ratings for my taste. The experts are constantly exploring new wines for me to taste, so it's not just going to be the same like Barefoot or cheap-ass wine that you get now or $2 shucks if you're a Trader Joe fella. And our shipments are going to get better. The more wines you rate, the better it's going to get for you. Sign up with our personal link, and you're going to get an exclusive intro offer. It's 3 bottles of wine for just $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, you get $10 off your next box. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/chap. That's tryfirstleaf.com/chaps. And you could even schedule the day that it's going to be delivered, so you know you're going to be home whenever it gets. It's really convenient. All right, here's Shelby.
All right, so today our guest, Shelby Miller, he is a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is originally from Chaps territory in Texas, and we are so excited to have you here today because you have launched a program for active duty military called Heroes First. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so me and the D-backs actually teamed up with the program that I created. It's called Shelby Miller's Heroes First, and what we do is we give 4 tickets to every home game for the D-backs to veterans, not only veterans, but, you know, wives and families of people overseas right now. Basically, any kind of, like, active duty members, we try to get them out to a game to, you know, support them and kind of show my support that way. And they get, like, food and beverages throughout that, and the hat that has my signature and stuff on the side of it. So it's a new program. Is pretty neat. Still trying to, you know, figure everything out with that, but it's been going great so far.
That's awesome. And how do they, if you're in the Arizona area and you are active duty, or how do you look this up?
Well, I'm pretty, the D-backs, we have, you know, that side of it kind of handles everything on that side as far as getting, like, tickets and stuff for everybody. I think you can call them possibly to get tickets if that's, you know, if you're looking to go to the game. But Debbie, we got a girl named Debbie who works for us with the D-backs who finds families and veterans that have, you know, who aren't fighting anymore to come to games, and she handles all of that. And so far it's been great.
That's awesome. And Chubby, Why did this start? Did this start through the organization, or was this something that you created?
Well, so I had my grandpa, my grandfather, who I who passed away probably about a year ago now, was in the Army, and it was really always, he was always really, really big on, you know, supporting veterans and doing things like that. So it's kind of my way of like kind of giving back to him and giving back to, you know, the community and the veterans. And I think it's a great cause. It kind of hits home with me and actually, you know, means a lot to me. So I went to the D-backs. I let them know that I kind of wanted to get involved in that way, and they've helped me out, you know, throughout the whole process. So it's been a great, great organization so far. It's been working out really good, and we're loving it. So
that's awesome.
I mean, were the Diamondbacks not previously doing anything before this for veterans? Because so many teams across the league, you'll see different initiatives that they do. So I wasn't sure if that was something that was MLB mandated, or not necessarily mandated, but you know, an initiative that was with the MLB.
No, they had done it in the past. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact they're really big with the Manor House out here, which is a house that houses veterans who don't have anywhere to go. And it's not really like a shelter or anything, kind of, because they can go in and kind of like get them back on their feet, get them going in life again. And they used to partner with them a lot, but I don't think anybody has been doing it in the past. They have had some other players who were involved, but I think the past couple of years they didn't have anybody. But this year I decided to step in and join that, and like I said, I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. Your grandfather would definitely be proud of you for doing this. And I have to say, I didn't want to like you because I'm a big Phillies fan. I'm still stinging from that 2015 shutout that you pitched. but yeah, I guess you're all right. But
yeah, thank you.
So your grandfather was in the military. I don't know how much other association you have with the military, but here at Barstool, we're actually having a big spelling bee today. And I was thinking,
oh, really?
Maybe we could cue you in on a little military spelling bee. Would you be up for that?
Oh, man, I'd be down. I'm not a good speller, but I'll try.
All right.
Give me your best try.
A best
yeah,
try.
I'll give you my best shot for sure.
I just have a couple words here, and it'll just be you versus our own Captain Cons and our PFC Bren, producer first class Bren. So I'm going to start with you, Shelby. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's get it.
All right. Ammunition.
Oh. I want to say there's two M's. AMMUITION.
Close enough. Close enough. You nailed it. Yeah, it's close enough for me.
I'm trying to multitask too right now. I'm driving.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh,
All right.
No, yeah, that for a driver, that's totally fine.
Right. Nailed it.
You're on to the next round. Cons, amphibious.
Amphibious. AMPHIBIOUS. Amphibious.
Oh, nailed it. On to the next.
That's
PFC,
pretty good.
PFC Bren, besiege.
BESEIGE.
Wrong. Wrong. It's BESIEGE. You can get the hell out of here. We're completely done with you.
I'm ashamed.
You're out. All right. This will be the last round. Shelby, spell camouflage.
Camouflage. All right. C-O-M-O. Is it F or PH?
Shelby, let's just say, thank God you could throw a baseball really quick, really fast.
Fuck, it's F, isn't it?
Respect everything you do, but I have never heard this spelled.
F L O U G. I don't know.
I was out in the Barstool office earlier, and everyone was asking how to spell it, and everyone was spelling it wrong. But you can take pride in knowing that no one has spelled it more wrong than you just
spelled
did.
Spelled it the wrongest.
Okay. I'll take pride in that. That's fine.
I think you spelled camouflage.
Yes, camouflage, yeah. But that can be cool, too. All right, for the win.
Good thing I do other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that is last one, Captain Con's catapult.
Catapult, C-A-T-A-P-U-L-T, catapult.
Bow, 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 bow. You win. Well done.
Big surprise there.
Woo-hoo. But Shelby, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And I saw just you made the announcement at the Manor House, which, by the way, stands for Marines, Army, Navy, and Air Force. Is this a place that is special to you? Had you been there before?
No, I had not been there before. The first day that I really got involved, though, I went down there and kind of toured the place and met some the people who kind of like ran it. And the guy who actually runs it, it's a pretty amazing story. He was actually, his name's Pete. He was actually had to use the Manor House himself. He was a homeless veteran who lost his family, and his wife and kids had left him. And he actually like moved out, lived in the desert for like 3 months. And when he went to the Manor House, he actually stayed there, and now he's like high up in it. So it's pretty amazing story. You know, I think what they do is spectacular, and it's a nice place. They're actually building a brand new one that opens up in about a month. So, you know, it's neat what those guys do over there and how much they help guys who need to get back on their feet. Pretty cool place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Shelby, in addition to tickets to the game, if Kate, myself, Bren, and Chaps come out for a Diamondbacks game, can we also stay at your house?
Oh, man, you're more than welcome to come stay at my house.
Yeah, until we show up.
I only got 2 extra rooms, so.
We'll figure it out.
What are y'all going to have to bunk up together?
We'll bring you some cool Zero Block 30 camouflage gear.
Camouflage.
Sounds good.
All right, well, Shelby, thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck the rest of the season.
Big thanks to Shelby Miller for coming on the show today. Awesome to have an Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher with us. And speaking of, you know what's a great catch? Simple Contacts. It's the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century, so instead of heading to your doctor every single year to renew your prescription for something you wear every day, take a few minutes out of your day and do it on your own time and terms. Do you need to renew your prescription? Take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. That's pretty cool. You review your renewed, or you receive your renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. It is that simple. I wish I had known about it before. It's definitely something I'm going to be checking out as I try to get rid of my four eyes for the summertime. Simple Contacts is awesome because they're convenient. To reorder, you can do it from anywhere in minutes. Again, no more doctor's offices or waiting rooms, which is a huge plus for me. It's fast. The self-guided vision test, I'm like blown away by that because I hate going and doing that. And it's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists who review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. So you're not just getting contact lenses. They really are looking into the tests that you take online and making sure you're healthy too. And Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses that you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around for lenses for the best price. They're going to take care of that for you. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store, and you can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person, not a robot. You don't even get that in a doctor's office most of the time, so this just keeps sounding better and better. And like I was saying before, it's great for the summer. Ditch those glasses. You're going to be down the shore. You're going to be putting on sunscreen. Your face is going to be all slippery. You don't want to have to deal with that. Just throw your contacts in, get ready for vacation, outdoor activities, and looking good in those Instagram photos, y'all. It saves you money. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment without insurance could cost over $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, they're offering a promotion to the listeners for Zero Blog 30. All you have to do is type in simplecontacts.com/ZBT. Enter the code ZBT at checkout and you are set. That's $30 off contacts at simplecontacts.com/ZBT or enter code ZBT at checkout.
Well, for those who couldn't tell while they were listening, that was Kate's first attempt at an ad read. Much better than what Chaps was doing the first time he did ad reads, but still, you could use some work there.
Definitely. The contacts, simple. The reading part, not so much. It's something I got to work on.
Maybe you should get some new contacts.
Maybe I should get some new contacts. And we know just the place to do it, code ZeroBlog30.
Perfect. All right. One last thing I wanted to just touch on really quick. Earlier this week, on, I think it was Business Insider, there was an interview with another podcast host. His name's Jocko. He's a former SEAL. He's very well known within the military community. Served honorably as a SEAL, and now he has a whole brand that he promotes. And one of the things he was talking about in this interview is how he wakes up every day at 4:30. And if you follow him on Twitter, you can see that he wakes up and then proceeds to take a picture of his watch to show everyone that he is awake and attacking the day at 4:30. Before I say anything else, your reactions, Kate?
Hell no.
Which part?
All of it. Listen, I'm sure, like, legit, I'm sure he's an awesome guy. I follow him on Instagram. Seems very inspirational, but he goes to bed at, like, 8:30. He's up at 4:30. There's absolutely no way. When's the time for fun?
I mean, I don't know how, as an adult, you can go to bed when there's still light out in the summer.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. But, no, I get what he's saying. The whole idea of waking up at the same time every day. It doesn't have to be 4:30. I think 4:30 is a little much. But the idea that if you wake up the same time every day, it will help you instill some discipline in yourselves. Because if you've never been in the military, you don't have anyone, aside from maybe a job, telling you what time to get up. And even then, you can hit the snooze however many times. So it does help in that regard. But does that resonate with you at all, the idea of instilling discipline?
No, I hate discipline. I like to live my life in shambles and by the seat of my pants and see where it takes me.
Why did you survive in the Marines then?
I knew it was temporary.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was temporary, and I actually thrived under those conditions. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't fully me.
Yeah.
Late, middle of the night, making poor life choices. That's me.
That's where, that's your wheelhouse.
That's my bread and honey, sugar, whatever. But yes, how about you? Do you think you could do a schedule like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't want to do 4:30 because I'm such a night owl, so I would need some hours of sleep. But that is one thing from the military I still do, is I can operate on a few hours of sleep. I mean, it's not ideal, it's not healthy, but I can do it. There are a few things that I still do in the military. Like, if you look at my phone, it's on 24-hour military time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mess up one a.m., p.m. alarm and you don't wake up for something, and that's all it took for me to switch over to 24 hours. So that's definitely something I still do. I've taught friends and family certain text message shortcuts with military lingo.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking for someone and I need to know, like, where they are, what they're up to, when they're going to be somewhere, I'll just text SITREP, so get a situation report, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's found to be very helpful. Those are probably the main things. What about you? Is there anything from the military that you still do?
I will say I used to be kind of a soft talker.
Yeah.
Before the military, and now it's like one of my biggest pet peeves. If you're going to talk to me, like, just don't whisper. The drill instructors always say, oh, you're gonna talk sweet to me? You want to talk sweet to me? You're good, good. And now every time somebody, like, whispers, like, a cashier is like, here's your change, I'm like, oh, you want to talk sweet to me? Like, that's what is going on in my head. It makes me, like, rage inside. So definitely, like, I'm a loud and confident talker, even if what I'm saying is total bullshit and wrong.
It doesn't matter if you're saying confidently.
Confidently, right.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
And you got me thinking, I don't know if Jocko listens to this. If not, somebody cue him in. But Jocko, what if you and I did, like, a Laverne and Shirley show kind of show where you moved in with me in my apartment for, like, a month and we see how the, or like a wife swap. We have both live in each other's worlds for, like, a month.
I'm pretty sure he's married with children, so you'd have to endure that as well.
Ooh, I have three plants.
All right. Enough about Jocko. Any save rounds, alibis?
I don't think so. I'm just jazzed for this spelling bee today.
Yeah, how do you think you're going to do in the spelling bee? So as everyone's listening, yesterday, Thursday afternoon, there was a Barstool spelling bee. So this is kind of like we're going into the future and talking about the past.
Yeah.
So how did you do in the spelling bee?
I think, if I can predict, so the results will be out by the time everyone's listening to this, I think I'm going to come in fifth place.
Not too braggadocious, but also not stupid.
Right. I'm no Harvard. But
do you think it's going to be one of the Harvard guys that pulls it out and spells the words the best?
Actually, no. I think it's going to be Roan.
Okay. All right.
That's my vote's on Roan. He's a wordsmith. The
yes.
Guy's good,
yeah,
with words. So.
Brent, do you have a prediction on who's going to win?
Francis.
Oh, okay.
Going right. With the favorite. I mean, he's a Harvard grad.
Really? Zero blog 30? You can't say Kate? Can't.
No.
Huh.
All right. Well, there's a reason I got excluded. It would just not be fair.
Yeah. Oh, you would win.
I would think so. Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely think.
You did spell catapult right earlier, which I spelled wrong.
And unlike a lot of people here, I'm not intimidated by that Harvard degree.
All right, final one then.
All right.
And I'm coming at you just like the word out of the woodwork. Gorilla.
Gorilla. G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. Gorilla.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong. It's G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A.
Shit, there's two L's in there.
And you missed an R.
Nah, did I?
Either way, you were wrong.
Damn
You're
it.
A big dummy dum dum.
That doesn't.
All right, that's
me.
It for today, everyone.
No, my two things. I have two recommendations.
Ooh.
Check out the HBO documentary on Senator John McCain.
Okay.
It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And also, if you love him, it's going to be eye opening. And if you hate him, it's probably just going to give you a little more fuel. The Netflix documentary, American Dream, about President Trump. Also interesting to kind of show his path to where we got to today. It's a fascinating watch. Like I said, either you love him or hate him, but either way, it's going to give you more information about the guy. So
excellent. Well, next time I'm up late making poor life choices,
there
and the next
go.
Day I need a good Netflix, that's in my queue.
Bingo.
Thank
right.
you.
Sound the retreat.